with me, and we'll go to Ruth and read in chapter number 2. I'd just like to say thank you also. I'll tell you what, I've never been able to be here on Thursday and Friday all day, but this year something happened and I got sick and called into school today and tomorrow. And so had some sick days built up. Got sick this morning. Said I need to go see the great physician for a little while and talk to him. We'll get a second opinion and see if I really am or not. He says, yeah, you are. Anyway, we'll go to Ruth. I do feel it an honor to be called to preach. And I teach political science, and we're talking about the presidency. And yesterday we were talking about how important the president's job is. And man, I get in my classroom. The way I open up my classroom every day, I say the same thing. I come in there, we're talking about the presidency. So I come in there, after the bell rings, I come in, and I always tell them, because they're all wild and everything, and I'll go, if you can't get pumped up about the presidency, then you can't get pumped up about anything. And I do that every day. If it's the Constitution, I do that. So every time when I come in, I say, if you can't, they start in with me. And everybody's saying, if you can't get pumped up, then I fill it in with the presidency. But if you can't get pumped up about Jesus, you can't get pumped up about anything. I'll be honest with you. One time in my classroom, a kid stopped me after I said that, and he goes, Mr. Houghton, you ought to be a preacher. I said, think of mine. So God called me a long time ago, and I'm so glad he did, because I feel like a preacher's job is more important than the president's job. I believe we got a whole lot more responsibility on us, because souls are dying and going to hell without a preacher. The Bible says they will not hear without a preacher. Isn't that right? So he said he calls the foolishness of preaching to save them which were lost. So I thank God that he chose me. I like how Paul said he chose me, put me in the ministry. Man, that feels so good. Humbling. It's very humbling. But it's a good thing. I got to think about what I wanted to preach a few weeks ago, and I was getting ready to. I'm preaching at a small church over in Caldwell County, and I started reading over there where Jesus healed a man, and he said, see that thou tell no man. And I was wanting to preach on that. You know, yeah, right. As well, it's going to be the title of my message. I'm coming up with some weird titles, but yeah, right. God heals you. How can you not tell anybody? I mean, yeah, God heals you. What are you going to do? Just act like you don't have leprosy anymore? I mean, you can't do that. His spots are gone, right? Somebody's going to know there's a change in you. But he said, see that you tell no man. And I began to think about that, but God wouldn't let me have any peace on that one. So I got over to Ruth and I began to read. I've been going through a tough time, and I heard a preacher once preach on Ruth, and I got this idea about the handfuls of purpose. So I'd like to read with you, if you'll stand with me. And I always like, every time I preach, I like to sing God is So Good. So if you'll sing with me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. All right, verse number 1, chapter 2 says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. I'd like to pray right there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you've allowed me to even sing God is So Good with so many people. Lord, I sing that with 13 or 14 every Sunday morning. Lord, just thank you for that. Even just a minute ago, thank you for the voices of your people even crying unto you and telling you how good you are. Lord, we don't even know the half of it, though. They said the half of Solomon's greatness was not told, but you're twice as good as he is, or maybe more. Lord, I know that. It's infinite, Lord. I thank you so much for your word that we've heard so far. Lord, it's such an encouragement to see these guys before me, Lord, and they're talking about how somebody needs to come behind them. Lord, I want to, so please let me, Lord. I pray that you would. Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I love you and thank you. I pray that you'd set me aside now, Lord, for just a few minutes, Lord, and just speak through me. Lord, I pray that people would see you through me this morning. Guard my lips, guide my thoughts, that I might not say anything or do anything be contrary to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I began to think about the handfuls of purpose on over in verse 16, but I kind of just want to put that thought off for a few minutes, and I want to talk about what it says in verse number 3. It says, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. I began to think about that for a little while. Do you know, I look back in Leviticus where it talked about the process where the law said that the reapers must only reap a certain part of the field, you see. And they could only reap what was in the middle, you see. In the corners, every corner, there was a bunch of poor people out there gleaning, is what they called that. You know, and I began to think about that for a little while. And you see, I can visualize in my mind. I've got a visual memory. They talk about what kind of learner you are. I'm a visual learner. When I see something, I like to remember that by the thing I saw. So in my mind, I wasn't back then, so I visualized these poor people out in the corners of the field gleaning. And I can just picture the reapers going up through the middle. So you picture that with me today. I mean, they've got their combines and they got all this stuff out there in the middle. No, they were doing it by hand. But they were out there walking around in the middle of the field, okay? And all the poor people over here, there's separation, you see, between the reapers and those gleaners. But I saw something about this. It says she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. It says in verse number 2, she says, Naomi, I want to go and find somebody whose field I can glean in whose eyes I can find grace. You know what grace means? I know everybody in here does. I don't have to say it. It's unmerited favor, right? I began to think about all those other ones in the corner, but Ruth in the middle. You know what she did? She found favor, didn't she? Somebody once preached a message called Favor is Not Fair. Sometimes God gives us special things that He didn't give somebody else, and somebody says it ain't fair. Well, sometimes it's just not fair. God's just, but sometimes He shows favor. Isn't that good? He calls some to preach, some to sing, some to do this, and all, some can speak different languages like Brazilian. And all, if I could speak all those different languages, I'd love to go to every country y'all got represented in here. I'd love to go and preach under an interpreter one time. Daddy got to do that on a Easter Sunday. I invited a bunch of Hispanic people to our church. They were all Catholic. And they got to come to church, and Daddy got to preach his Easter Sunday message in English, and a Spanish interpreter right there with him. What a blessing it was. Some people have gifts to do that. That guy can speak Spanish and English. It's a gift, you see. God shows favor to some people that He doesn't give that same gift to everybody. Isn't that good? But I can picture Ruth as she left the house that morning. And I can picture as she went over into the field and got over there with the gleaners in the corner. And Boaz looked over at her. See, that's the kinsman. And he said, I like that. He said, come on out here into the middle and glean after the reapers. And that's what I'd like to preach on this morning, is get after the reapers. Just get right after the reapers. We want the blessings of God today. Just get behind the reapers. You know, I mean, we can get over there with the other people and glean and get a little basket full. But it says when she got done that day, she had a whole ephah full. I don't know what that means, but I know it sounds like a whole lot, okay? I mean, she got a whole bunch, all right? It says in Leviticus chapter 19, 9, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. Deuteronomy chapter 24 says God's law gave her the ability to reap or to glean in the field. But see, grace is what gave her the ability to get after the reapers. That's what I like right there. You know, I have had a point in my life where I was very low, just not too long ago, okay? I mean, it was just so seemed like everything was going great up to a point, and then something just happened. But it didn't just happen. It says in verse number 3, her hap was to light on a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. You know, we find ourselves in situations, sometimes we think that just happened. No, it didn't. Nothing just happens. God's got a plan. God don't work by chance. God works by Christ. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I like that. It says in verse number 3, her hap was to light. This is not by chance. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 29 says, are not two sparrows are sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without our Father. Thank the Lord, He doesn't work by chance. It's not just by chance He shows up when we're in those times, does it? Because He came to me, you see, that day, and He said, you're over here, come out in the middle. I got something I want to drop for you. Go over to verse number 14 with me. It says, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. See, she went after the reapers, now she's beside them. Thank the Lord, God moves. I like the story of Joseph. Don't y'all like the story of Joseph? Joseph got put in a pit, didn't he? God got him out of the pit. They were going to kill him. God got him out of the pit, took him to Potiphar's house. I like how Potiphar just makes him the number one person in his house. God's got a plan, doesn't He? Looked like Joseph's life was going to end, but then it ended up just beginning. Got to Potiphar's house. Then they got an accusation made against him, went to prison. God made him the warden of the prison. I mean, He just kept exalting him. It doesn't matter what we do in life. I mean, nothing else matters except serving God. Joseph was a vessel of God. I like how God blessed him every time. Looked like the world had cursed him, but God blessed him. I like that. God made him the warden. But you see, she has been, now there's three things here that I didn't point out a minute ago that makes her eligible to glean in that field. It says in the book of Leviticus there, or Deuteronomy, that you shall allow the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow to come out there and glean. She met all three categories. She was fatherless. She definitely was that. She was a stranger because she's from Moab. And she was a widow because her husband had died. Now, I'd like to take you back in and think about what she said there in chapter number 1, verse number 16. She said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. I think as Brother Trenton this morning said, basically what she's saying in hillbilly language, and I kind of can translate that a little bit for you because I'm good at that. I'm good at translating hillbilly. I can do that. Now, Brother Boff, I can do that for you if you ever need that, okay? It says there, she says, entreat me not to leave thee. She's basically saying, don't ask me not to follow you. Don't ask me not to come along with you. And she said, or to return from following after you. She said, if you go on, I'm going to follow you whether you like it or not. That's what she said. And then she goes on to say, thy people shall be my people. And she says, thy God shall be my God. That's the most important statement she ever made. Thy God shall be my God. She got saved. She got saved right there. It's exactly what she did. Then they go back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she finds herself just by chance in the field with Boaz. Isn't that good? Now, we get there and she says, let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. I think that God has two purposes, and there may be 100 more, but this is what he gave me. Two purposes for dropping handfuls for us. I really believe that. Number one, I believe it's to show his grace, to show his favor. I just like to get a blessing from God. You know what I've been doing lately? I've been praying specific prayers. I believe God hears me because I've been praying for this specific prayer and God answers it. And it ain't too long after because he knows how impatient I am. I'm telling you what, I grew up with five sisters. I can't help but be impatient, can I? I'm just impatient. I pray for something, God gives it to me, and somebody says, that's just by chance. No, it's not by chance. It's by Christ, isn't it? It's for his grace. It's a purpose for his grace. That's his handful for me. I began to think about that. But see, there's another thing that I think. I think it's for his glory. You see, because it's not because of my prayer that I said. It's because of his grace, right? And for his own glory. He made me for his glory. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, like we read a minute ago. And if it says it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 27, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, I was in a field, and sin was all around, but grace abounded. Isn't that good? I mean, it was because he dropped handfuls for me. And I got handfuls of his grace, but then I got handfuls of his grace so that I could see his glory. Thank God for his glory. His glory is above. He's set above the heavens even. I mean, what is man that thou art mindful of him, David said. I began to think about those handfuls and how we just need to just get behind the reapers. Amen. And find them. You know, just get. I mean, they're going to drop. Sometimes you trip over them. They get so close to you. I mean, sometimes you got your eyes closed. You just trip over one of the blessings of God. And I began to think about it's for the purpose of his grace and of his glory. Then I get over there to verse number 15. It says, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. You know what I like about that? I like it that he said, let her glean. Let her glean even among the sheaves. But you know what I got out of that? God tells the angels in heaven while I'm sleeping to come and do things for me that I don't ever even hear. She didn't hear him say that. She never heard him tell the reapers that. God speaks things over our lives that we don't ever even hear. Isn't that good to think about that? He says, keep him safe. He's fixing to go to church today. Keep him safe. He's fixing to go to work today. And angels are all about us. Isn't that good? And you see, I love to think about God's protection over me. And I began to think about that. How every step I take, I don't even know what God's saying about me sometimes. I mean, there's things spoken over my life I don't even know about. And I began to think about those handfuls dropped for me. For his grace and for his glory. I begin to think about God's glorious provision for those children of Israel as they got up that one day and they said, well, we're going to be out here in the wilderness and starve. You know what? God did drop handfuls of purpose for them. They came in the form of manna, didn't they? It went out every morning. A small little white thing. White represents purity. Small represents humility. They had to bend down and get it, didn't they? And you can only get as much as you could eat, right? I mean, it's all personal stuff, wasn't it? You see, that's handfuls of purpose. There was something special for each person. He measured it out from heaven, didn't he? He said, I only need to put this much down in the morning. He said, if you take more than your share, I'll spoil it. He said, it's all about you. It's all about me dropping this for my grace and for my glory. You know where I got the glory point from? It says, in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord. That's what he said when he said something about the dropping of the manna. I think about the glorious provision. Then I think about how they got to the Red Sea and God showed His glorious protection there at the Red Sea. I began to think about how He protected them. You know, it's by chance again that there was a cloud between the Egyptians and the Israelites when they were waiting at the Red Sea for God to move, wasn't it? It's by chance. You know, I'll give that to this. I love when people say that God cannot be proved by science. I proved Him by science before a bunch of times. They say, how can God hear every person in the world at the same time? How many continents are there? Seven, right? God moves at the speed of light. It says God is light, right? And light travels at 186,000 miles per second. That means He can travel around the world seven times in 1 second. And so He can hit every continent in a second. He can be at every continent seven times in a second. Can you believe? That's science, isn't it? I like it. They said a watermelon's a monkey, 98.4% the same DNA structure as a human. So no doubt we came from monkeys, right? God didn't create man. I said, yeah, well, a cloud is 100% water, and a watermelon's a certain percent of water. I mean, a cloud missed being a watermelon by just a few percentage points then, right? You can prove God by science, can't you? It doesn't make sense, does it? God said there needs to be a cloud there between the Egyptians and the Israelites, so there was a cloud there. Isn't that good? And He said He got to the Red Sea, and Moses looked back and said, hey, y'all watch this. Put the rod out, waters part, and no doubt that was God. That's a handful. See, that's God's glorious protection. I just think about God taking His hands down in the water. It said an east wind blew softly all night long. And said He just parted those waters. Isn't that good? I think about the glorious provision, but the glorious protection. Then I think about Joshua at the walls of Jericho and how God showed His glorious power. Isn't that good? See, those Israelites saw that stuff. Those were handfuls for them, weren't they? His handfuls of purpose. God showed His power. Now I began to think about how the walls fell. They didn't fall outward. They didn't fall inward. They fell down. That's because God pushed them down. Isn't that right? Pushed them from heaven. I thank God for His mercy and His grace. But I thank God for those handfuls of purpose that He gets us sometimes. I get over to verse number 16 then, and this is where I'll try to slow down a little bit. I know I talk fast. My dad does too, so I'm like the father, I guess. Verse number 16, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Amen. Basically, He spoke over her life again. She'd never heard that. She didn't hear that. But He spoke over her life and said, I want her to have that. And you know, I began to think about, what does God drop for us? As preachers, as Christians, what does He drop for us? I began to think about His mercy. And how I need mercy every day. I'll mess it up if I could. God's more powerful than me. He can work around me. But I'll mess it up if it's left up to me. You know, there are times I had some bad things happen just a few months ago. And if I had tried, I could have messed that thing up. And I can see how it's already starting to unfold and starting to work. And you know, I got that verse in my mind from Proverbs. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I like that. You know, I've heard a preacher, Brother Everly, once preached a message. He said there's a comma there for a reason. That's so you can pause. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Pause, and He shall direct thy paths. There's the same number of words on one side of that comma as there are on the other side of that comma. You take care of your side, let Him take care of His. You just acknowledge Him, and then He's going to take care of you. He'll direct your own paths. I don't even have to get up in the morning and chart my course. It's already charted for me. Isn't that good? I like it that God directs my paths. I like how the brother just said a minute ago, who you talk to the first thing in the morning? I talk to Jesus. Who is the last person? I tell Him I love Him. You know what else I like about that? I tell God I love Him, and He tells me it back. You know, some people just say, I love you, God. They don't ever hear from Him. I said it one time, and people can say whatever they want to say, but I heard God. Maybe not like y'all talk to me, but I said, I love you, God. And He said, I love you too. That's good. I tell my mom all the time, I love her, and she'll say, I love you too. But I heard it from God, and it was so special. Isn't that good? Mercy. We got to have mercy. Every day. I like how David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I wondered why mercy wasn't ahead of us. It follows us, doesn't it? Because when we get in trouble, it hits us, doesn't it? I mean, it runs right into the back of us. I need mercy sometimes because I'll get ahead of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I need it to follow me all the days of my life. Mercy. I think about how I can just come up on mercy sometimes. God dropped it right behind him. Said, here, you need this, son. Right behind the reapers. See, if I'd have been out to the left or to the right, I might not have found it. Amen. But thank God I was right behind him. Right behind him and found mercy. But I also thought about that manna. that they found there on the, manna representing angels' food. I mean, God sometimes gives us things that He gives the angels. I told you a minute ago, He speaks things over our lives that only the angels hear. We see the results of it. But He only that's so good, it makes me want to jump or something. Y'all might lose me here in a minute. And then I thought about this one. And this is where the preachers in here can relate, I'm sure. I've been in low times before. Now, I'm only 26. I know I look younger than that. But I'm only 26 years old. But I've been in low times in my life. I had a sister. Her husband got killed. Brother Freeman remembers that. Got killed in a coal mining accident. And I got to go over there and sit with her as her husband had just been killed. And I got to go home with her that night. She wouldn't sleep in her bed. She slept on the couch that night. And I slept right beside her, on the floor beside the couch. And she put her hand down there on my arm. And I got to lay there awake all night with my sister thinking about that. In January, my mom was in the hospital, and they were wheeling her back, and I said, Mama, I said, I love you. She said, Nathan, I'm going to be all right. I said, I know you are. I'm just so impatient. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait till you get out of that thing. I was crying like a little baby. I'm a mama's boy. I didn't want to see my mama going through that. But you see, that's when God said, get behind the reapers. He said, get behind the reapers. I got a special blessing. It's called mercy. I got a special blessing. It's called manna when you need it. I got a special blessing, and this is the one. Give me a message, God. Give me a message. David said, I incline mine ear unto you. I want a message from God. You know, it's in those low times I can get a message, isn't it? It's sometimes in those low times. In the jail cell, Paul could preach, couldn't he? I mean, in the low times, I get a message. I heard Daddy preach the gift that Mary wrapped one Christmas. Boy, that gave me a thought, didn't it? I've heard Brother Broughton preach, what are you going to go tell John? I mean, I needed that. I've heard Brother Roark preach about the right foundation, talking about the two wise and foolish there that were going to build their house, one upon the rock, one upon the sand. Thank God for the message when I needed it. You know, I was walking by faith alone, sight unknown, as the song said, and God just drops a message. And He says, I got it taken care of for you, son. You're weak, I'm strong. I like that little Landon gets up and sings that, yes, Jesus loves me, learning at an early age that we're but flesh, but God is so strong. I mean, even in our troubles, He can drop a message down for me. Thank God for the message of God. You know, I've been thinking about lately, I've been seeing opportunities for me to help people. There's one of my friends just got divorced. I can't stand it for him. It is a sad, sad situation for him. I mean, his wife left him in a bad way. But you know, God has used me to help him through things that I've gone through in my life. Never been married, never been divorced, of course, but I want you to know that I was able to help him. You know why? Because God puts them in your way. Amen. He put some blessings in my way one day and said, now give them to Him. Yes. It's a blessing called a message. I can help somebody with a message God gives me. That's what I like this. I sometimes, if I hadn't seen a blessing in a while, now you say you're only 26, you should think like that. If I hadn't seen a blessing in a while, I'm impatient. Done told you, I'm impatient. I want to get there quick. I drive fast. And if it's over 8 hours, I don't drive, I fly, okay? I'll be honest with you. I get on an airplane and go. Get there a lot quicker. But I want you to understand, sometimes that mercy and that manna and that message, I need to give that to somebody. I want you to know that there are times in my life when I've been given a message, and right after that message, I've been able to preach it. Thank God for being able to preach that message. I like to see miracles, though. I like those miracles God drops in my way. My mama came out of that surgery, and they came in there, and they said, now y'all can go back and see her. She's going to look awful, though. Because after open-heart surgery, they had to do 4 bypasses on her that night. They said, she's going to look awful. When you get in there, it's going to be awful looking. They prepared me like that. I said, I'm going to go back there and look. Got back there and I saw her chest rising. And I saw those tubes going to her and I saw the heart rate still going. And I said, that's beautiful. Amen. That's a miracle. God dropped a miracle in my way. Daddy said they brought a little baby to him one time in church. And my dad's name's not Benny Hinn. But I want you to know they did pray over a baby one time and that baby was healed. That's a miracle. I believe God can do it, don't you? Now, I think He knows who's impatient and who's not. And He just gives some people special blessings, and He does it right then. That's a miracle, isn't it? Nobody can question whether that's God or not. But then I like this last point. He's given me mercy. He's given me manna, a message. He's given me miracles. But sometimes I just want more. I just want more. I done got some manna, but I want more for the next day. I done got some mercy, but I want more for the next day. I've already got miracles, but I want to see more miracles. I've got some mess, but I want more of some messages. You know, I like it when David said, "My cup runneth over." You know what that? You know what he's doing? He's saying, "Fill that up, God." And when he gets to the top, he's saying, "No, just give me a little bit more. Come on, some more right there, more and more." And it goes over into the saucer like that song says. I like more sometimes. I like when God just gives me more. You know, when he gives me more of the Spirit, more of the... sometimes I don't even realize how fully saved I am. Sometimes people talk about limited atonement. I say, no, it ain't limited. There's more. There's more for everybody. It didn't stop with me getting saved. There's more out there. God's got more. Sometimes he drops blessings, and those blessings are in the form of all these things I've talked about. But sometimes he just gives us more. Isn't that good to just get more?